This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello, and welcome to Open Eyes. So, I have a pretty big show on tap for you guys here tonight. I'm planning on covering at least some portions of the quote-unquote terrorist attack that occurred in Paris last week. But I'm definitely going to delve much deeper into what the backstory is behind everything and the reasons why all of it has occurred the way that it has, and some of the lies that we have been told. This is information that I think is important for people to understand, because there is a backstory to it. There is a reason why it happened, when it happened, and how it happened. But we'll get into that further on into the show. I have some news for you guys here. But before I get into it, I want to say thank you to all of you who have been listening so far. I hope that you have enjoyed the information that I've had to present to you in my shows. So on to the news. There is a few bits of news that I have found that I thought was rather interesting, to say the least. And one of them, especially this first one, you can really tell that there is a lot of hit pieces that are going on in the media all around. I mean, the media, the mainstream media is all about being the voice for the agendas that are out there. The puppet masters that are pulling the strings, they use the mass media to push what they want us, the great unwashed masses, to think and to feel. In this case, they're pushing the vaccine agenda again, like they always do. I'll read the story off a little bit here for you. 9 cases of measles have so far been recorded in an outbreak in California and Utah, and the number is expected to rise. It is thought that many of the infections were transmitted at Disneyland. Predictably, most of those who have become sick were not vaccinated. Infuriatingly, 2 of them were children who were too young to get the measles shots, rather than being the children of vaccine opponents. In addition to the 9 confirmed cases, health officials say that 3 more are suspected. If you have symptoms and believe you may have been exposed, please contact your healthcare provider, California State Health Officer Ron Chapman said. He added, "The best way to prevent measles and its spread is to get vaccinated." In a population where vaccination is sufficiently common, it is impossible for a measles epidemic to take hold. There just aren't enough babies coming into contact with each other to keep passing the disease, even when adding the rare cases of people where vaccination was unsuccessful or medically problematic. However, by drastically increasing the pool of potential transmitters, the anti-vaccination movement has ensured that the disease can flourish, particularly in parts of California. Most anti-vaccine campaigners may not be consciously encouraging a disease responsible for hundreds of millions of deaths, but anyone choosing not to protect their own children is also putting the lives of babies they don't know at risk. Okay, so do you see the emotive language that's used in an article like this? This is not uncommon. I have seen this exact type of verbiage that's used in almost every article that you read regarding people that are questioning vaccines. Oh my God, we are questioning the great and wonderful gods of the medical community for everything that they do and everything that they stand for. Please bless us with your knowledge and your saving grace. Just for questioning whether or not vaccines are safe is the height of heresy and blasphemy to the common people right now, you see. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some benefits, perhaps, to vaccines. I'm not saying that at all. But the way that things stand right now, they do much more harm than they do good. And there is massive amount of evidence out there to show it. They have ingredients in these vaccines that destroy lives. They destroy lives. Okay, I got on my soapbox a little bit there, and I'm not really sorry for it because this stuff really gets my goat. You see this emotive language that's used in here in an article that's like this, and you see how, oh, the people that even question vaccines are to blame for millions upon millions of deaths. We are going to cause this great pandemic that will destroy humanity just because we question the safety of vaccines, even though the vaccine labels themselves say they're dangerous. Even though the ingredients that are used in them have been proven to be neurotoxic. And yet, oh, can't even question it. Okay, so moving on. Obama was a no-show at the gathering that took place in Paris. There were approximately 4 million people that showed up to march in the streets and show solidarity for freedom of speech and all of that stuff. And Obama was conspicuously absent. I assume he was off playing golf. You know, he had more important things to do, even though his schedule was completely empty. I mean, what a spit in the face to the rest of the world, right? Supposedly France is our oldest ally, according to Obama himself, and yet he can't even deign to have anybody show up to say, hey, we agree, this was a horrible, horrible thing that happened. Now that gas prices are lower, the Congress is getting ready to look at raising taxes on gas because this is an opportune time to do so. Who didn't expect something like this to happen, right? In other news that I think is important to actually pay a lot of attention to, as opposed to the Obama situation, the Corn Manufacturers or Corn Growers Association have made an announcement that the name, the label of high fructose corn syrup is going to be changed. it is now going to be just fructose. So when you're looking at your labeling on the foods that you buy, instead of looking for high fructose corn syrup, take a look for fructose. Apparently, they're renaming it to make it more understandable for people, because when they had it labeled as high fructose corn syrup, the labeling was confusing. What is high fructose corn syrup compared to the other types of corn syrup? Why is this so different? And it's because it's 90% fructose. And so therefore, because it's a higher percentage of fructose, they're just going to call it fructose. We can cut through the BS with that, right? We can cut through it with the knowledge that they're renaming it because people are actually starting to pay attention to the lies that are going on as far as high fructose corn syrup is concerned and the health dangers because of high fructose corn syrup. And so now they're having to relabel it and rename it and put a new spin on it so that people are not going to pay attention to it anymore. Oh no, this doesn't contain any high fructose corn syrup. You're going to see that on labels. No high fructose corn syrup, no HFCS. You're going to see that everywhere. And yet if you look then at the actual ingredients in the product, you're going to see it labeled as fructose. You see, so they're not lying to you. There is no high fructose corn syrup in it, but it's the exact same product with a different name. You know, it's kind of like the McDonald's, the rumor about McDonald's naming or claiming that they have 100% pure ground beef because the company that they buy the beef from is named 100% pure ground beef. It's the same difference with this, you see. They just are putting a different spin on it so that people can't see it anymore. So now the advocates against HFCS are going to have to redo everything that they're doing to try to renew the fight against this product, which is a very bad product. I mean, the health side effects of high fructose corn syrup are there and they're very well known, no matter what the Corn Growers Association might try to claim. There is a lot of danger that goes with it. It's just like with aspartame. So many studies come out, oh yes, this is safe, this is safe. And yet the studies were put on by the companies that are funding for aspartame and that sort of thing. Just because they have lab coats and numbers and letters behind their names doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about. They're just bought and paid for by a different company. I mean, there's just so many lies all over the place. They really love to do that to us, don't they? They really love to play up the lies constantly. You know, it's like one of the things with this whole Paris thing. They are saying, oh, well, we found the passport for this guy. The terrorists are all dead, except for the wife, who has apparently fled to Syria. I'm going to get into all that here in a little while. But they're claiming that, okay, well, we found the passport sitting in a car. And that's how we know that that's who this is. That's how we know that that's who is involved in this situation. Isn't that funny? Isn't that incredible coincidence that they found the passport? The guy just happened to be like, okay, well, I'm going to go kill off a bunch of people. I need my passport. I have to be able to be identified with everything. It's lies. It's all bull. 9/11, they did the same thing. Oh, well, this passport, this ID just happened to fall from a burning, flaming mass of a wreckage and tumbled down through thousands of tons of debris and dust and so on and so forth. And oh, well, we just happened to find this passport. It's bull. Every bit of it. I'm so sick of being lied to by these people. I am so tired of the constant barrage of bull crap. It is just ridiculous. The great unwashed masses might be fooled by things because they don't pay attention. They're too busy with work. They're too busy trying to earn their income. They're too busy trying to survive to be able to pay attention to all of this stuff. I've gone into that before on some of my other previous shows, that most people are just focused on paycheck to paycheck. That's all that they really have the ability to concentrate on. And the rest of the time they're spent either taking care of their families or whatever, or entertaining themselves. You know, the average family in America spends over $3,000 every year on entertainment alone. So it is all about entertainment. Well, the media understands this as well. And they know that when they have a group of people who are out there in this herd mentality that is constantly looking for the next form of entertainment, they know that this smoke and mirror stuff that they put on is going to easily fool and distract the masses. So it's all lie. It's all Hollywood, every bit of it. I'm going to go into that here in a little while, but it really is ridiculous. And it really makes me so angry, because I know that we can do better. I know that we as the masses of humanity, we can do better than this. That's why I started doing my show. That's why I started doing all of this, is to try to draw attention to the lies that were being told. If you listen to my intro with everything, I say flat out, I mean, humans have been lied to all along about who we are, about what we are, about what we mean, what we stand for. They try to do everything that they can to push forward their agendas and to push forward the thoughts that, okay, well, the masses of humanity, they don't know how to control themselves. They don't know how to take care of themselves. We have to do it for them. We have to do it because it is our divine right to do so. That's the attitude that they have. That's what they walk forward with. They don't think like you and I do. So try to cut through all these lies. That's what I have as my intention. I hope that that's what you have as well. I hope that's something that you do in your own life, is look at these news stories or look at these events that occur and take a critical look at them and not believe immediately what you're told. Don't be obedient. Ask questions. It's the best way to do things, at least to my thinking. You might be a little bit different. I don't know. If you are, that's okay. But that's not how I like to work. And I really do hope that you don't either, because we do have so many people already that follow the official stories with everything. And that's part of the problem of what we're seeing today. Too many people believe the lies. Now, as far as the vaccination news and things like this, high fructose corn syrup and that sort of thing are concerned, on Friday, I'm going to be doing a show that is dedicated to the lies that are going on in the health field, in the health industry, and I'll be covering some of this stuff there as well and delving a lot deeper into the subject all the way around. Because, guys, we are being lied to continuously when it comes to our health. And speaking of lies, we are being lied to continuously in these terrorist attacks that are going on. Sometimes I lean towards the idea that the governments or the powers that be let these knowns, these people who are known to be troublemakers or known to be potential terrorists, to wander around freely so that they can cause problems. And that a lot of times what they'll do is they will actually do things to foster it and to foment them into enacting these acts of violence, so that then their agenda can be followed through with. So it may not necessarily be the powers that be themselves that are doing these actions, or it may not be a situation where it's crisis actors and that sort of thing that are being used. There may actually be terrorists that are involved with these things. However, they're fomented, they're pushed forward to do their deeds by the powers that be as an excuse. Sometimes I think that it's easier for them to do that than it is to actually go out and hire crisis actors and so on and so forth to do these things or to fake these things. Now, as far as this Paris thing is concerned, this has been 100% faked. I'm going to show you the proof for it. I'm going to talk about it after we come back from the break, which we're going to get to in just a moment here. But be sure to stay tuned and listen to it, because there's a lot of information that's going on with it. There's a lot of lies that are flying around with it all. And I'm going to do my best to cut through as much of them as I possibly can. And hopefully you'll walk away from this episode with a better understanding of why all of these things are occurring in the way that they are. That's my hope. So guys, stick around. We'll be right back and delving into those topics as soon as we're back from this break.
Videos of Jonathan Gruber have now become kind of almost a hit series.
Too stupid to understand the difference.
First, by mislabeling.
All the stupidity of the American voter or whatever.
The fact that some advisor who never worked on our staff expressed an opinion that I completely disagree with in terms of the voters is no reflection on the actual process that was run.
Many of them I've stolen ideas from liberally. John Gruber.
You know, basic exploitation of the lack of economic understanding of the American voter.
I don't know who he is. He didn't help write our bill. I don't know if you have seen Jonathan Gruber of MIT's analysis of the what the comparison is to the status quo.
Don't call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever.
Let me say, if you look up stupid in the dictionary, you'll find Gruber's picture.
But I sent it because so many people worked so hard, including John Gruber.
And the only way we could take it on was first by mislabeling it.
Ms. Gruber was an advisor.
The problem is not that Gruber helped them put Obamacare together, because he was the man.
Some advisor who never worked on our staff.
The architect Jonathan Gruber reportedly has had more than a dozen appointments to visit the White House since Democrats began drafting the health care law.
Easier to talk about 6 and 8 year old videos.
The realistic guy's like, look, I can't just do this. He said, it's just not going to happen politically. The bill will not pass. That ultimately became the genesis of what's called the Cadillac tax.
Some advisor who never worked on our staff.
He was certainly viewed as an important figure in helping to put Obamacare together.
Professor, do you really think the American voters are stupid?
No comment.
Open Eyes seeks out the heart of matters, looking for explanations in places that most other radio hosts refuse to go. No subject is forbidden, and nothing remains hidden. Listen to Open Eyes on the Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network, weekdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Open minds, open hearts, open eyes.
Thank you.
Thank you for sticking around through that break. Welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira. And I hope that you're strapped in. I hope that you've got your cup of coffee or tea or whatever it may be sitting beside you, and that you're ready to listen to some really interesting stuff. The big news on everyone's lips over the past 6 or so days has, of course, been the Paris terrorist attack. I'm using air quotes with that one. And I'm sure that by now all of you have heard the official story that they're putting out, that this was the work of three terrorists and one of their wives who attacked a magazine in Paris, allegedly for the cartoons that they've created over the years, obscene cartoons, at least to the Muslim world, showing Muhammad and all the various obscenities and stupidity that goes with that. So the official story is basically that these terrorists busted down into the offices of this magazine, Charlie Hebdo, and they proceeded to kill everybody in sight. By the time everything's said and done, 12 people are dead, including a couple of police officers and so on. Okay, well, so that's the official story. I'm not going to rehash it all the way here. I'm sure that you've heard it by now. And if you haven't, a quick search on startpage.com will reveal it for you. Regardless, what it comes down to is the fact that this event is fake. It's a false flag. And before you start hollering at me about, oh, well, everything's a false flag, and oh, false flag, you people scream that all the time, let me make something clear to you. I am at heart a skeptic. I don't ever call false flag on something unless some serious investigation has been done regarding it and some serious proof has come out to show that, yes, this is the case, whether it be through documentation, through things being faked, whatever it may be. There has to be some proof to it to show me that the official story isn't correct as far as the event is concerned. Now, that doesn't mean that I automatically believe the official stories either. I don't. In fact, far from it. I tend to remain as neutral as possible on every story that I run across until I have found out the truth for myself as much as possible. Now, of course, me not being on the scene, I can't have my own firsthand witness account of anything that occurs, but there are ways to be able to tell events from real or fake. Okay. The fact is that there is definitely sufficient proof that this thing was faked in one way or the other. Now, that doesn't mean that people didn't die. I'm not saying that people did not die. I think the people did. But I'm saying that it is definitely not for the reasons that they are claiming, and it is definitely not caused by what they are claiming, and it definitely did not transpire in the way that they are claiming. So let me get into some of the things that I've found in regards to this. And I'll also speak about some other subjects in all of this as well. But I wanted to focus, at least in this little beginning section here, on the Paris attack, because, of course, this is what's at the forefront of everyone's minds. So, if you go to my website for this particular show's show notes, they'll be located at openeyesnetwork.com/OE057. Or you can go to the front page of my website, openeyesnetwork.com, and click on the episode, this particular episode's date, and it'll bring you to the show notes for this episode, for this show. On that page, I'm going to put links to all of the things that I'm going to discuss here, including the videos that I'm going to put forward, and including the news articles that I've run across and that sort of thing. All of that will be able to be seen there anytime you want. And I really recommend you go there and look at these things after the show so that you can get a good understanding of the fact that these things were not real, that these were faked. I mean, this is Hollywood acting going on with it all. And maybe not even necessarily the greatest Hollywood acting at that. Okay, so first off, there's a video that shows the terrorists attacking a police officer. And you can see the terrorist apparently shoots the police officer from a distance. The police officer lays down on the ground and is rolling around, moaning, groaning, whatever it may be. And then the terrorist, and again, I'm using air quotes with all of this, but the terrorist runs up to the guy laying on the ground and fires his gun, and the police officer dies. Okay. If you look at that video, you will see that the fact is that there is no blood. There is no debris. In other words, nothing coming from the guy who is shot at all. Even though this is allegedly a headshot, there's no debris. There's no, you know, brain matter. There's no skull matter. There's nothing. Okay. If someone is shot in the head, there is, no matter the caliber of the bullet, if it is sufficient to exit, it will cause a significant amount of blood spray, and it will cause debris to occur. I give the example of John F. Kennedy when he was assassinated. You can see when the bullet hits his skull, things go flying. You can see examples of this all over the internet. I'm not going to point any particular videos or photographs out because they're easy to find, and I don't really want to participate in looking at them over and over, but, and I'm sure you can imagine why. But again, there is sufficient evidence out there to show exactly what occurs during a shot to the head, as well as shots to the body when there's body armor being worn and so forth. There's plenty of it out there. Okay. In this case, when you're watching this video, what you see happening is the gun fires and it does not hit the officer. Okay. You can see in the video, the officer is on his elbows. Yeah, his left side, he's kind of leaning upwards, and he's looking back at the attacker. And as the attacker runs up to him, it's like there is a cue, and the gun fires, and the police officer slowly drifts down and quote unquote expires or dies. Well, as you're looking at the video, now on Friday, I said that it appeared to me that the gun, when it is fired, looks like it has nothing at all coming out of it, and that the there is a muzzle flash and a bit of smoke that goes on, actually quite a bit of smoke that goes on, and it looks like it's coming from this police officer's hand, like that he's laying on the ground and that it's coming from his hand. Upon closer looks at the video, it does still appear that way a little bit to me, but it also looks as if the bullet that fired from the Kalashnikov that the quote-unquote terrorist is carrying was firing a blank, and it hit the ground a little bit of a distance away from the police officer, and that's what's causing the sparks or the flash and the smoke to puff up and appear. But one way or the other, it is obvious that the shot did not hit this guy laying on the ground, that the shot, one way or the other, either didn't fire or that it was this bullet that hit the ground. One way or the other, it is definitely one of those two cases. I can't say for sure, but I can say for certain that this police officer was not hit by a bullet. It's obvious that that's the case. There's no, as I said, and as Michael Vera says, you know, where's the blood? That's exactly correct. Where is the blood? There is none coming from this police officer in any way. Now, later, or well, in another video that is apparently from the following day. So in other words, on Thursday, this attack ended up happening on Wednesday. And on Thursday, the next video that I have for you there at the openeyesnetwork.com/OE057, you'll see another video that's there from a journalist who is doing a news broadcast. And I'm going to actually play you the audio from that here. Go ahead and take a listen to this, and I'll give you my thoughts after you hear it.
That's where they appear to have come across the police officer who was seen by them, and he opened fire, shot and wounded, and then he was then finished off. The spot where he fell has already been marked by candles, by some flowers which have been laid here. This area was largely cordoned off last night, so not many people could have come here, so there's not much sign of presence. You can see the blood on the ground, which has been put there too, because of the blood that was shed on this spot.
Okay. So did you catch that? Because of the blood that has been put on the ground here. Okay, so was this a Freudian slip on the part of the reporter? Was this something that he accidentally said, you know, just a mistake, like an innocent mistake? Or was this something that, okay, well, this blood was put there. Oops, a Freudian slip. You see what I mean? Which one of those was it? Because it definitely could be either one. And one of them definitely implies a nefarious purpose, to say the least. Now, I'm not saying that that is exactly what it means, but it is suspicious, especially given the rest of everything that is surrounding this whole Paris incident really does point that this whole thing was not real, that it was staged in every way, and that it was actually staged for a number of reasons, which I will get to here in a little while. So that is an important question, though. Which one was it that he was meaning? But it's obvious that he said the blood was put there. Now, just so that you guys understand, if you go and you watch this video, which I'll have linked up on my site for you, you will see that the blood that is laying there, this dried blood that's laying there, number one, it does not look like dried blood on pavement. I've seen dried blood on pavement before. I know what it looks like. It does not look like it. And I've actually heard from a few people who are in the emergency medical technician field who say that when a dried blood is left on the ground, not only does it not look like that, it's much darker than this. This is sort of a weird brownish color for one. Okay. Blood dried on pavement, especially from a head wound, is very dark. It's very clumpy, especially when it's been sitting overnight somewhere on pavement or on concrete. It becomes very, very clumpy or chunky, sort of like an oatmeal kind of a consistency. This does not have that, not at all. Second, the blood is actually shaped like a body. That does not happen. Okay. That does not happen in a real world situation when someone has been shot. The blood does not pool in a body shape. It just doesn't occur. Okay. So there's no blood in the video where this guy is originally shot, but then there's blood on the pavement in this video where this reporter is saying, okay, well, here you can look at this blood. It's surrounded by flowers and so on and so forth. Well, also the blood, if you compare the two videos that I've talked about so far, which I'll have listed in order there on my website for you. If you look at the videos in that order, you will see that the police officer is shot and dies, quote unquote, at least 3 to 4 feet away from a pole that's there on the side of the sidewalk. Okay. So in other words, there's a pole. It's almost like a light pole or something like that, but it's a pole that's sitting there right by the pavement. The police officer is shot, lays down, dies 3 to 4 feet away from it. And it's obvious. Okay. I mean, there is a huge gap in between the two objects, the police officer's body and this pole. When you look at the second video, you'll see that the blood is laying exactly perpendicular to the pole that's there. In other words, it is exactly in line with the pole, not 3 to 4 feet away from it. And there's no blood trail leading to it, as if this guy had crawled there and died after he was shot. No, there's no blood leading up to it or anything. You don't see a single drop of blood anywhere else except for right here in this spot. And it's not the same spot that this cop was shot at. So that's obvious thing number two. Okay. So you have the fact that this cop who was shot was not shot where he was shown to be shot. Okay. Was not shot at all, in fact. And it's obvious in that first video. And then you have this other video with the reporter saying, oh, well, this blood was put here. I mean, it got here. You see, the Freudian slip may have been accidental, but still, you got to wonder, does this guy know? You see, the third video that I have for you guys, that again I'll have on my site for you, is of the hostages escaping after the police barge in to this deli that the final a terrorist had them held hostage. The police storm in, they kill the guy, these hostages escape, so on and so forth. Well, in this video, you'll see the hostages leaving the building and they're starting to run towards a big SWAT type van vehicle, whatever it's called over there in France. I'm not sure. But they have this truck that's sitting there. The hostages all run towards it and piling into it so that they can get away to safety, because apparently the terrorists aren't dead or whatever. Okay. So in the video, though, you see in particular one woman who is dressed in pretty bright clothing. The kind of like almost a whitish or a real light gray colored jacket or whatever it is that she's wearing. It's pretty apparent. You really can't miss her. She's not really a small woman. She is running out with the rest of the crowd, but she separates herself from the rest and she keeps running towards a parking lot that is in the area. And you see, before she starts running over there, a police officer points in that direction to her. So he points, she takes off and starts running towards this parking lot that's next to, you know, next door to where they had been doing their operation at. And she kind of drops down on the ground. Well, another police officer, and I'm not sure, maybe it was the original one, I can't remember at this point, but one way or the other, a police officer runs up to her, ducks down with her. They both look back at the rest of the crowd that's there. And once the rest of the crowd has gotten out of the line of sight of these two, then they stand up and they jog over to a set of cars that's nearby. And the police officer leaves her, and she just stands there kind of milling about for a moment. And then she turns around and she slowly starts to saunter away. Meanwhile, the rest of the hostages, which she's out of the line of sight of now, by the way, are piling into this SWAT van and are proceeding to leave the area. So who is this woman, and why is she separated from the rest of the hostages? And why is it that when another woman sees her going that direction and starts to follow her, a police officer grabs hold of her and pushes her towards where the rest of the hostages are? You see, so this woman is separated from the herd for whatever reason. Now that makes me question, what exactly is going on here? What exactly is occurring? Is this woman, like, somehow involved in the situation? You know, I actually saw a few comments asking if this was actually the terrorist's wife who has subsequently escaped to Syria, but we'll get to that portion of things here in a bit. Or if it's perhaps somebody that was on the inside, you know, like an undercover police officer, perhaps, who was on the inside and was giving information to the outside cops? Or was this whole thing scripted and the hostages themselves are real hostages, but this person was sort of in charge of things? You know, I mean, there's a lot of obvious questions, but see, this again is where the investigation needs to take place and where we need to go forward from here, because we have the obviousness that all of this has been staged. There's too many questions that are left open with all of this stuff. Again, though, you can really point to that first video. I mean, irregardless of what the other two videos have to say or what the other two videos make you think of, the first and foremost thing that you need to pay attention to is that first video showing the cop allegedly getting shot in the head, but there's no blood, no debris, no anything, nothing. That alone is enough to say, this ain't right. We need to stop. Now, all of this is not the first time that any of this has gone on. This is not the first time that things have been staged and faked. I mean, I'll point you to the Sandy Hook debacle for a great example of it. And I'll get into that here in a bit as well. But, you know, this whole thing really does come down to that idea of a false flag. And again, I'm not one to call that for no reason. I'm really not. I wish you guys could understand that of me. I know some of you out there know me well enough to know that I don't do that in any way. Those of you who are my new listeners aren't going to really have an idea that I don't say that often, okay? But this one is overt. This one is flat out false flag operation. Now, false flag doesn't necessarily mean that people die. False flag just means that it's a tool that is used to fulfill an agenda, and it's done on the behalf of those who are controlling the agenda. Whatever that agenda may be, it varies and it's different each time. But the fact is that we have had many false flags happen throughout the years. There's something that has always existed. I mean, honestly, it goes back to Rome. There's a lot of legends that say that Nero himself burned down one third of Rome in order to build his Neropolis, this new entertainment complex, basically, that he wanted to build on 300 acres worth of land, and the Roman Senate wouldn't let him do it. So he burned down Rome himself to have an excuse to be able to do it. That was what? 1500, 1600, 1700 years ago. So, or even longer. And anyway, so, I mean, it goes back quite a distance, but we have had just even in recent years, a lot of examples of false flags, things that have been proven to be false flags, either at the time that they happened or after the fact. Another thing that's going on as far as this whole Paris thing, I don't know if you guys have heard about this or not, but the chief investigator in charge of this whole situation committed suicide, allegedly. I'm not precluding the possibility that somebody took him out. I mean, the reports are that he had been feeling sullen and depressed over the previous few weeks, and that may have been the reason for him to have suicided, was that he was depressed. But the question is, could he have been actually a part of this whole plot and killed himself maybe out of grief for his part in it, you know, knowing that people died because he was complicit in it? Or was he actually taken out because he knew too many secrets? Or could he have just been really depressed and killed himself? I mean, these are questions that need to be answered. You see, I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm not trying to claim one way or the other, but these are questions that need to be answered, and they need to be asked as well. And that's part of the problem when it comes to all of this stuff, is that people, out of some twisted sense of political correctness, say, well, you can't ask these questions because people died. Okay, well, just because people died doesn't mean that you have to stop asking questions. In fact, that's the time to ask more questions. That's the time to find out the real damn truth about all of the stuff. Because if people died, then it's really serious. You see what I mean? If there's an agenda behind it, it's so much more. The French law enforcement officers have been told to erase their social media presence and to carry the weapons at all times because terrorist sleeper cells have been activated over the last couple of days in France. This is according to a French police source who attended a briefing on Saturday and told this to CNN. So now you have the police officers on high alert because of quote unquote terrorist cells being activated. Like there's some kind of virus, right? The terrorist cells have been activated. So before the alleged terrorist was killed off by police officers, one of them, Kouachi, I think that's how you pronounce his name, actually did an interview with the media. I mean, you catch this, right? This guy who is a terrorist, he just killed a bunch of people, sits down for an interview, and he's on this big manhunt. You see, I mean, the police are searching high and low for him. They're going house to house, breaking into people's houses. They've got choppers flying all over the place. They're terrorizing everybody and their brother in the whole freaking countryside. And this guy's sitting down for an interview. Come on. Okay. Anyway, so he sits down to do an interview with the media. And I wanted to read you a bit of the transcript from it here, because the couple of things that he had to say were rather interesting to me. So, again, this is Kouachi, or however his name's pronounced. "We're telling you that we are the Prophet's defenders, peace and blessings be upon him, and that I, Sharif Kouachi, was sent by Yemen's Al-Qaeda, okay? I went there, and it was Anwar Al-Awlaki who financed me." The interview asked how long ago that was, and he said it was before he was killed. And if you remember, Alawaki was killed by drone strikes. I don't know, what was it, 4 years ago? 2010, I think it was. So then the interviewer asked, okay, so you came back to France not long ago. Kawachi replied, no, a long time ago. I know the Secret Service. Don't worry about it. I know very well how I was able to do things well. The interviewer says, okay, and now there's only you and your brother. And Kawachi says, that's not your problem. So this guy's claiming he knows the Secret Service. You know, it's come out that the police, the Secret Service, whoever it is, they had these guys all on a watch list and they were watching them 24/7. They had them on, you know, internet watch and phone watch and text alert watch and all that kind of stuff. And that 6 months ago, they stopped doing it because they weren't as much of a threat as they used to be, apparently. Yeah, right. Also, come to find out, another interesting little side alert to this or side story to this is that one of the terrorists, and I do believe that it was this Sharif Kawachi, met the French president Sarkozy in, I believe it was 2005 or 2009. It was one of the two. I'll have a link to the information on that in the show notes for the show as well. And I'm sorry, I can't remember it exactly offhand, but he did meet with the president, Sarkozy. And I thought that was rather interesting because, you know, that's not the first time that a person who does this kind of thing has ties to presidents. One great example of this is the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. This was done by John Hinckley Jr., who actually had ties to the Bush family. The Bushes and the Hinckleys go way back. They have some serious ties together. And in fact, the brother of Hinckley, you know, John Hinckley Jr., was going to have dinner with one of the Bushes. If I remember correctly, it was actually, I can't remember which Bush family member it was supposed to be, but Hinckley's brother was going to have dinner with one of Bush's children the night before the attempted assassination. They had been meeting over and over, actually. The Bushes and the Hinckleys were very good friends. The thing that comes to my mind with it all, and I've actually heard quite a few people talk about this over the years, is that the attempted assassination was to get Bush put into office, you know, that it was supposed to have actually killed Ronald Reagan, and that therefore Bush would be in office and would be able to introduce a lot of different changes to bring about the social changes and the governmental changes that he ended up actually bringing in later when he was actually president. Because the assassination attempt failed, he couldn't do that. However, for a long time period after the attempt was done, Reagan was out of commission and Bush was in charge of things. And during that time period, he was able to enact some of the programs that he wanted to put into place. And bear in mind that Bush, you know, Bush Sr. was the head of the CIA for a long period of time. He was the person who was responsible for bringing the drug trade to such a extent that it became, under his tutelage in the CIA, you know, the opium, heroin, on and on and on. Anyways, he had some serious debts owed to people. And so he tried to enact some things to get those things, get the ball running with them while he was temporary in charge. Couldn't get them all done, so he had to get back into office later. Anyways, that'll be information for a different episode. But you see how it goes, though, that a lot of the people who are allegedly responsible for these different things to occur actually have ties to these power players in one way or another. I mean, John Hinckley Jr. claims that he did it because he was in love with Tatum O'Neill or whatever and wanted to prove something to her. And yet then you find out that his family has some serious ties to the Bush family, and you really start to have to ask questions, you see, especially considering that the two relations were supposed to have dinner the night before this assassination occurred. You know, I mean, this stuff just can't be made up, right? You have to really get down and dirty delving into all of this stuff and learn we're being tricked on a constant basis with all of this. It really is all smoke and mirrors, just like it is with this whole Paris crap. It's smoke and mirrors, and it's designed specifically to distract us away from what is really going on and from what is really important in the world right now. And I'm going to get into that in the second half of the show. But the fact is, yes, we have had a lot of false flags over the years that are obvious. They have been proven without a shadow of a doubt, either through witness accounts or through actual documentation of the events occurring. You see, false flags happen, and they happen for a reason. They're very effective at what they do. Now, one of the other things that's been going on is that I'm sure we're going to see coming from this Paris terrorist attack, the crisis actors that are going to start coming forward. I mean, we've had that quite a bit lately, haven't we? There's one, this is a great example of the whole fakery of everything that's been going on. There was, during the Sandy Hook incident, a boy named Noah Posner who was allegedly killed by Adam Lanza there. His picture was put out, you know, this little boy was killed. Oh, the horror, the terror, the so on and so forth. And then just a few months ago, we had the incident where in Pakistan, a group of Talibanis went into a school and killed, 162 children in this school. And after the attack ended up happening and the children died and so on and so forth, there were a lot of protests that were going on. There were people that were, you know, putting up these different memorials with pictures of the children who had died and memorials and all of that stuff. Okay. Well, in one of the pictures, you can see a picture that is listed as a boy named Huzaifa Huxafi. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correct, but it's close. And it's the exact same picture of Noah Posner. It's the exact same kid. 100%, it's a duplicate picture. So you see in the Sandy Hook thing, this boy Noah Posner died. And yet then, 2 years later, he dies again in Pakistan? Come on, people. Are you serious with this stuff? And this is not the only one. It's happened a lot, okay? There was a woman who it has been shown has been a witness, a close hand witness, giving different names each time and trying to play off like she's somebody different each time, an actress playing parts. At the Sandy Hook, at the Boston bombing. I mean, how is it that the same woman is caught giving testimony of the horrible things that she saw at both the Boston bombing and Sandy Hook? And gives a different name each time. Just happens to be at both places. And she not only just happened to be at both, but she saw them both up close and personal. And she also just so happened to be picked out of the crowds of hundreds of witnesses or, you know, dozens of witnesses, just happens to be picked out of the crowd by these independent news sources. I mean, how about the, and I'll have the video for that as well there on my website, as well as this Noah Posner thing. I'll have a video for that linked up there as well. I mean, go to my show notes for this show, because you're going to see the frickin' proof to all of this stuff, people. It is undeniable. Okay. It is, you cannot look at this stuff and say, oh, well, you're just full of crap, Ira. You don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. Go back and eat your bananas and just shut up, right? How about the same girl caught on camera crying at the Aurora massacre? You know, the whole Batman movie massacre. At the Sandy Hook massacre. And at the Boston bombing. And I'll have her picture right there for you guys to see. She's got to be the most unlucky frickin' person in the world to be a close-up witness to all three of these events. These are actors. I know Riscala talks sometimes about the Sandy Hook thing and points to that as a perfect example of some of this fraud stuff that goes on with all of these false flags and the fakery that happens. And I have to agree with him. It's a perfect example, because that thing has been blown wide open. And if you have eyes open to even come close to seeing the truth to anything, you'll have to agree with it. It's just undeniable. The Sandy Hook shooting narrative is completely dead. The Newtown shooting was interconnected with the CIA, and Don Hochsprung, one of the supposed victims of the event, is closely related to the family of a known propagandist. And this propagandist and Hochsprung are closely related to Peter Lanza and the entire Lanza family. All of this comes down to the fact that when they do these things, it's either following an agenda or it's there to distract or both. The agenda may be, in the case of, like, for Sandy Hook, for instance, they were going for a gun grab there, and they have succeeded partially in doing it in Connecticut. I mean, they've made it illegal for people to, you know, have assault weapons and so on and so forth, at least what they claim to be assault weapons. You know, and many people are denying it, and they're basically now felonious people because they are disobeying this unconstitutional law. The false flags are always for a reason. We're going to have to take our break here real quick, but when we come back from the break, I'm going to touch more on the false flag issue, and I'm going to give some examples of known false flags, ones that have been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I'm also going to touch on the reason why this Paris thing has occurred. There really is a reason for it. And I want to be sure to get into it, because it touches on a subject that I'm very concerned about myself, and that I pay a lot of attention to, because I have children and I want them to be safe. So I'm going to get into that after we come back from the break. You're listening to Open Eyes. My name is Ira Robinson. Stick around with us. We will be back in just a few minutes.
The LNM Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of LateNightInTheMidlands.com and help us help you.
TROLLS. This is a terrible new disorder being diagnosed every day. Victims of this disease have been found in psychologists, scientists, doctors, other people with letters and numbers behind their names, and anyone else who is in the world specifically to cause trouble. It stands for Totalitarian Regime Orchestrating Laughable Liar Syndrome, and is a terrible burden on anyone around those that have been diagnosed with this disease. Symptoms may include debunking all truths, diversion tactics, divisive talk, and flame war baiting, COINTELPRO tactics and maneuvers, and making rude and obnoxious comments, even where such things are not warranted. You can help cure the problem by opening your eyes to the facts, speaking about this disorder to anyone you know, and not allowing their disease to influence your life. If you or someone you know has been diagnosed with TROLS, please seek immediate assistance by going to LateNightInTheMidlands.com and listening to all of the shows that are available. Only you can prevent TROLS. This message brought to you by IRA, the Independently Reporting Association. Thank you for your support. Open Eyes is dedicated to finding the truth in all matters. We are not afraid to be politically incorrect or to ask questions. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters have in store for us, or aliens and UFOs, nothing remains hidden. Listen to Open Eyes, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com or OpenEyesNetwork.com. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
Welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira, and man, that song always gets me so fired up. I just love that song. Makes me think that you know, that I've got power. I can come out and I can say anything and I can do anything. It gets me all fired up and ready to go, man. And I'm definitely fired up and ready to go with this stuff tonight, man. I'm telling you, these false flag attacks, these fools that think that they rule over us, they think that they're getting away with all of this stuff. And you know, there's people that are out there like you and me that understand all of this stuff, that see all of this stuff going on, and we cut through the bull crap that they're sending out after us. We cut through that stuff that's coming our way. We slice right through it like a hot knife through butter. I'm telling you, if you got eyes to see, you'll see the changes that are going on. You'll see the desperation in their eyes that they're trying so hard to keep their claws in humanity and to keep their control over the masses that are just slowly waking up to look around them and say, you know what? Things are not right in this world, and enough is the frick enough. We need to stand up and take action against this stuff. Boy, I'm telling you, they really are getting desperate, aren't they? Look at this stuff that's going on in Paris, and you'll see just how desperate they're starting to get. They are out there doing their best to inflame everybody against each other, to light the fires, because they just want to watch the world burn. They're ready to go down into their DUMBS, which a better acronym has never been created. They want to go down into their deep underground military bases and hide from the rest of humanity while we kill each other off for the remaining resources that are left after the world has crumbled down around us. Well, you know what? We don't have to let that happen. We don't have to let that stuff go on. We can come together and cut through all of this stuff and say, you know what? We don't need you people anymore. We don't need to be governed anymore. We know how to control ourselves. We know how to take care of each other. And they're trying their best to keep us from realizing that. And you can see it. You can see that with this Paris stuff, what they're doing is they're trying to inflame the fires of war to cause the Muslim world to react, to cause them to rise up and stand against the great Satan of the Western civilization. You know, they're trying to inflame those that are sitting around just, you know, as the moderate Muslims, if you want to put it that way. And the rest of the world is looking at the Muslim world with accusing eyes and saying, well, you're responsible for all of this. And you know what? There's no proof that these guys were actually Muslims or involved in any of that in any way. There is no proof. The whole damn thing could be completely fabricated and just a Hollywood script. We don't know. Where's the proof? Where is the proof one way or the other? We don't have it, and we're not going to get it. All we're tossed is what we're tossed by the media, the little scraps of information that the media feeds to us underneath the table like we're dogs sitting at the master's feet hoping that he'll give us a couple of frickin' breadcrumbs and begging with our eyes, please save us from ourselves. Please control us. Please put us on that leash and we'll just beg for the scraps that you deign to give us. Let them eat cake indeed. Okay, so are you guys ready to listen to this? I hope so. I hope I've got your attention now. Not too long ago, I believe it was actually just a matter of maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, perhaps towards the beginning of December, Ryan Gable on the Secret Teachings at thesecretteachings.info did an episode of his Secret Teachings talking about false flags. And actually, I think it was right there around the 1st of December because he did it on the anniversary of Pearl Harbor being attacked on December 7th. I really recommend going to his website and listening to that particular show that he's got, because he really did some serious research with it. I mean, I knew about all the stuff already myself because I do a lot of research on the same topics that he does. So it's not unfamiliar territory to me, but he really did a good job of getting the information out in there. And I don't want to detract away from what he did there. But I do want to give a little bit of info about false flags and some of the history of ones that have gone on so you guys can have a good idea about what happens with them and why they occur. I mean, these false flags, as I said earlier, they're done to fulfill an agenda, or they're done to distract, and sometimes they're both. And what it comes down to is that they have done these false flags as a way to steer the course of human history into a direction that they want it to go. You know, it started off just in the past 100 years or so. For a couple of examples, look at the Spanish-American War. In 1898, the USS Maine was attacked, and the first, or the forward front of the ship was blown apart, killing over 275 sailors on that ship. And President McKinley put the blame of that on Spain because they wanted to have more control over Cuba, basically. They wanted to kick Spain out of Cuba and take control of it ourselves because of the resources that were available there. And this essentially was what led to the Spanish-American War. In fact, that is actually the exact incident that occurred that is one of my favorite quotes. I say that with quotes from William Randolph Hearst, who said, "You furnish the pictures and I'll furnish the war." Essentially, that was the beginning of this whole media, Hollywood, government type of embedding together that we now see so much of happening today. This was sort of the beginning salvos in that particular front, if you will. But it was later found out that the ship was actually blown up by the United States themselves to provide a pretext to invade Cuba and kick Spain out. You have the incident with the Lusitania, which is what essentially got us involved in World War I, where a U-boat torpedoed the RMS Lusitania, which was a luxury cruise ship. And the United States government essentially used it as a pretext to get involved in the First World War. The incident occurred basically because the Germans claimed that the Lusitania was actually carrying ammunition for the war effort that was going on. And the governments basically declined to provide a warning to those on the Lusitania to not go through the waters because the Germans basically were warning them off. And in 2008, divers found the wreckage of the Lusitania and found that there were more than 4 million rounds of rifle ammunition in its cargo holds. So even though it was denied that this ammunition was on the boat, it's later found out that, oh yes, there was indeed a lot of it. But you see, that's what got us involved in World War I. It was a pretext. It was a false flag operation. Of course, you have the big one, the Reichstag fire in Germany, which is what essentially got Hitler into power and caused him to have the ability to do everything that he did. And it was later found out that he himself was responsible for it happening. One of the interesting quotes to come from that era was from Hermann Goering. He said, "The people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That's easy. All you have to do is tell them that they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same way in any country. And you can see that happening right now, right here, right now. That's exactly what is occurring. And then, of course, you have the infamous Operation Northwoods. This was a plan that was unanimously voted on by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which proposed essentially state-sponsored acts of terrorism inside of the United States borders. The plan including shooting down hijacked American airplanes. Gee, doesn't that sound familiar? The sinking of United States ships. Gee, doesn't that sound familiar? And the shooting of Americans on the streets of Washington. That may not necessarily have happened, but you see this same kind of thing going on the parts of police. And then we have the Gulf of Tonkin, you know, the thing that got us involved in the Vietnamese War, you know, the Vietnam War. Oh, boy. You know, it was later proven that the Gulf of Tonkin incident never even happened at all. Not one little thing about it was true. And how many people were killed in the Vietnam War? How many American soldiers were killed in the Vietnam War? How many Vietnamese were killed during it? You see the amount of loss of life and the amount of people that were coming back from this war devastated and destroyed. And the whole thing was fake. The whole thing was a lie. And it's hard to talk to people about this because there are still people right now who are out there alive and maybe even listening to this broadcast who went through the Vietnam War. And I'm sorry to tell you, but you went through it because of a lie, because the government told a lie to get us involved there. And the proof is out there. The proof is out there for people to see. And it sickens me. It sickens me and it angers me. It's got to stop. I mean, what are we going to have come about now because of this whole Paris thing? What's going to happen now because of it? You see, how many more people are going to end up dying because of it? I mean, they've lied to us all along about all of this stuff, people. But the thing is that they've gotten really good at telling the lie now. They've gotten really good at being able to make the lie flashy and hard to see through. But just because it's flashy and hard to see through doesn't make it any less of a lie. It's still fake. So you might ask, why do they do these false flags? Why are they so apt to pull this rabbit out of their hat? And the thing is, like I stated earlier, they do make really good distractions away from whatever might be going on that needs to be distracted from. They also are great fundraisers. The fact is that America, for instance, has been at war essentially the entire time since the Federal Reserve was put into place. And I think there's perhaps been about a 5-year period of time total that we have not been at war in some way, shape, or form. And a lot of these had to be started because there was no reason for a war to happen. So for instance, 9/11, the false flag ends up occurring, number one, as a fundraiser because they stole the money from the Pentagon. The day before 9/11 ends up occurring, Donald Rumsfeld comes out and says, oh, $2.3 trillion are missing from the Pentagon. We don't know what happened to it. September 11th, nobody's talking about that anymore. And nobody has said a word about it really ever since. Great fundraiser. Not only was that a fundraiser, but it was also used as a pretext to go to war on quite a few different fronts. Now we have this whole Paris thing. The the wife of one of the terrorists has now allegedly escaped to Syria and is now there. Well, how much have they been trying to get us to go into Syria? And how much of this is a perfect frickin' excuse for it to be done? You see? Fundraisers. Great distractions and fundraisers. War is big business, and they know very well how to work this business. So I talked about the distractions that they do, and this Paris thing is a great distraction away from, I think, what is the true reason for it to go on. I mean, it's all fractal, right? The universe is fractal. This is all fractal as well. This is a multi-layered type of thing. I mean, I'm not saying this is the reason for it, but this is a damn good reason for it. And this is maybe towards the top of the list for it to occur. But I find it funny that the royals came out basically stating that, the Prince Andrew pedophile situation is a matter of national security. And that same day, the Paris attack ends up going on. And now nobody's talking about Prince Andrew anymore. Nobody's talking about the sex ring that he was involved with anymore. And nobody is really paying any attention to the stuff that was starting to open up because of him. You see, for those of you who don't know, the Prince Andrew situation is this. A few years ago, there was a billionaire playboy investor fundraiser kind of person named Jeffrey Epstein, who he was convicted of pedophilia, of having sex with minors, and he provided minors for Prince Andrew to have sex with, at least allegedly. I mean, it hasn't been proven, but the evidence is there. The allegations are coming from a girl who is now a little older, but at the time was 17, and said that from the time that she was 15 forward, she was forced into a sex ring, a sex slavery ring with this Jeffrey Epstein at the head of it. Prince Andrew was one of the clients, so to speak, of this child sex ring. So because of the ties that Andrew has with this Epstein character, doors were starting to open to really blow this worldwide sex ring industry wide open. I mean, this was kind of the match lighting the powder keg. We can't have that, right? So big distraction was needed. Paris attack provides a perfect distraction from that. If the royals weren't involved in it, I'd be shocked, but I would not be surprised if they're kicking back saying, well, we'll use that. You know, I think they go with the whole Rahm Emanuel idea of never let a good crisis go to waste. But, you know, given the history of the royals, the involvement that the royals have with this child sex ring that not only involves sex. Okay, let me clarify that as well. This sex ring, the worldwide pedophile child sex ring, human slave trade, basically, is intimately tied with the royal family. It's intimately tied with the Vatican. It's intimately tied with all the major power players around the world. You know, all of the power elite, they're very deeply involved in all of this. It involves not just sex, but it involves ritual. It involves sacrifice. It involves everything. Okay. All the horrific things that you can think of, it does involve. These people are deeply involved with it. They started it. So of course they're involved with it. Some of the power players, for instance, that are tied to this whole Epstein and Andrew business are Sir Evelyn Rothschild, of course. You know, of course, there's got to be the Rothschilds in there. Richard Branson, Woody Allen, Bill Clinton, Bono, Hillary Clinton, Mick Jagger, Ivana Trump, Donald Trump, Jimmy Savile, Kenneth Starr, Chris Tucker, Stephen Hawking, Carolyn Stanbury, the royal family, Vladimir Krichkov, Sir Robert Maxwell, you know, the newspaper tycoon, you know, that decided to kill himself because of his involvement in embezzling $440 million. And yeah, I mean, it goes on and on. This is seriously the power players, the politicians, the corporate muckety mucks, everything. They're all involved with it deeply. Bill Clinton, by the way, is getting tied into this big time. And of course, that's not looking good for Hillary, you know, for her 2016 run, which that makes a great way for Jeb Bush to step in. And that's a horrible proposition, to say the least. You want to talk about a monarchy going on right there? You go. That's a royal family right there. Deep ties into the Nazi Party, deep ties into all of the dark death and dreck that's been going on in the world is tied directly to the Bush family. And yet we have two of them as our presidents for two terms each. And people wonder why I shake my head and weep for humanity. The accusations against the Duke of York include claims that he took part in an orgy with other underage girls. This is a ring that really is worldwide. I mean, it's especially in Asia is where it seems to be the most prevalent. There's different attitudes, I guess you could say, in Asia. But it's been estimated that about 1.2 million people are trafficked each and every year. There are at least 300,000 children worldwide. This has been proven, guys. 300,000 children minimum worldwide that are abducted and entered into the sex trade every single year. Now, that's not necessarily just 300,000 here in America, but, you know, 300,000 worldwide are sold into slavery every year. This is a dark stain on the karmic state of us as humans. We really are all complicit in it. If you hear about this stuff and you don't do anything to try to stop it, you don't do something to try to at least spread the word that this stuff is happening, and to try to get people to recognize that this dark thing is going on. You know, this is the future of our race here. You know, this is the few, and I'm not meaning white, black, yellow, whatever. I'm meaning the human race here. The sex trade is big business. It is a major moneymaker, and especially when it comes to the younger ones, it is big business. In fact, it is bigger than anything else worldwide other than weapons trading and oil. It goes oil, weapons trading, sex trade. That is where the most money is spent and earned. And it is worldwide. I mean, don't be fooled thinking that, oh, well, this is just in Asia or this is just wherever. No, it's worldwide. Okay. It is a global problem. And Jeffrey Epstein, for instance, just to throw this out there, this guy who was convicted of pedophilia and is the head, you know, at the head of this whole sex ring that was getting opened up until this Paris attack happened. This guy is a member of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. Okay. Hello, power elite. This is the people that are running the world. This guy is a member of it. And he's providing these services for all of the big power players that are out there. Think about this here, guys. Just think for a minute. If Andrew, the Prince Andrew situation, if it was to be found his connections to all of this, and through this court case that's going on, through this whole allegations that are going on, it was discovered that this Jeffrey Epstein's little black book contained all of the information on all of the people that are around the world, the power players, which he had. I mean, he has this information. He's got it, because the whole point for them doing this was to have blackmail on each other to prevent them from, you know, getting too deeply involved or stepping out of line with anything. This is how the control system is set. When it comes to keeping people in line, the first and foremost weapon that they have is to blackmail through sex. And if they can get that, then they don't need anything else to hold over somebody else's head. You see, they don't, that's their best and most effective weapon. And when that doesn't work, then they try buying them off. And if that doesn't work, then they're essentially destroyed, either through their reputation or them themselves, you know, killed off, or their reputation is killed off. But it's generally one of those categories that these power players fall into. And they all have blackmail on each other. They all have their little black books and their little libraries filled with data and video showing every little incident that occurs. Don't be fooled. They've got it. And these things are out there. So if this door had been opened with Prince Andrew, if this door is to split open and this gatekeeper steps out of the way and we get information about all the other stuff that's behind him, this world's going to fall apart pretty quickly, you see, because these control factors are then going to be gone. And we're going to be, you know, we as the masses of humanity are going to be clawing down their walls, because this stuff is not going to be able to be suppressed and hidden. It's going to trigger something major to occur. It's going to trigger something that's going to have to happen to get us back under control real damn quick, or they're done. And do you really think that they want to lose that control? No, they don't. So they're going to do what they can to distract us away from it. If the stuff here in Paris settles down and this news story of Andrew happens to be recycled again and starts to grow steam again, which I think that it will, because there are enough people, white hat people, if you want to put it that way, that will try to put it back into the forefront of things. If it starts to grow another head of steam, we're going to see another incident end up occurring. We're going to see another thing end up occurring to get it to stop, to try to stave it off as much as possible, until either the situation blows over and is forgotten, or everything falls apart and they lose control. Their power structure is destroyed. You see, they've played a very risky game with it all, is what it comes down to. They've played this game where they have made our children so important to us that we're now hyper-vigilant and hyper-defensive about them. I'll give a great example. We in my generation, you know, I'm 43 at this point in time. In my generation, when I was growing up, we had quite a bit of freedom to do whatever it is that we were going to do, to express ourselves, to be a little bit free in how we acted and did things. So we would go out all day long. You know, we'd pretty much be out of the house after the Saturday morning cartoons ended and ran outside and played for the next 12 or 13 hours, and we'd maybe come home for a sandwich or maybe to grab a pop or a drink of Kool-Aid or whatever. Usually we shared it with our friends, shared the glass or the can with our friends. Oh my God, spreading them germs around. None of us ever really got ever sick from it. Anyways, we had quite a bit of freedom to do whatever it is that we were going to do. Basically, we came home when the lights came on the streetlights. So nowadays, you don't see that happening. Nowadays, it is the polar opposite. Now, parents set up play dates for their children. Instead of their children going outside and playing with their friends, they set up play dates so that the parents are there watching over their children every step of the way to make sure that they're safe and to make sure that nobody takes them and to make sure that they're okay and nothing happens to them. And so, like I said, they've kind of played this game, this risky game, where they've made us into that so that we would be very defensive of our children. And if this pedophile ring, for instance, were to be opened wide, that's going to be used against them, because now people are so hyper reactive and hyper vigilant about their children that we'll be going out and clawing them to bits with our bare hands over all of this, if it's all to come to light. My hope is that that is actually what ends up occurring, honestly, because we have to have change. We've got to change in this world to be able to reclaim our humanity and to reclaim our future here on the planet Earth and beyond. We've really got to do something. And so hopefully, with all the information that I've given here, I've at least helped to make a start with things. Do your own research with it all. Find out the facts for yourself so that you'll not just hear it, but you'll know it. There's a big difference between the two. Like I said, you can go to my website and look at the show notes for this show, and you'll see everything that I've seen. You'll see all the things that I'm going to present to you with all of this. And I hope that it opens your eyes a little bit. So I am at this point, unfortunately, out of time. And I wish I had another 2 hours to talk about it all, because there is so much depth to all of this. I actually had to skip over a lot of what I had planned to talk about with all of this. But I'm going to pick it up in the very near future and delve much farther into it all, because we've got to get through all of this. You know, we've got to face these things. I know these things are hard to hear. I know that they are. They hurt my heart to say them. They really do. I hate the fact that all of this stuff is going on, but it's something that we have to face, and it's something that we have to deal with in order to progress forward, because we're right now under their control and we got to get away from it. We've got to understand again that we don't need them to govern us. We can govern ourselves. We can decide for ourselves between what is right and what is wrong and what is best for us in our lives. I mean, look, guys, we have enough problems already hating each other. We really don't need any more excuses to be able to do it. We don't need any pushes from these idiots thinking that this is the right way to be, or thinking that this is what we need, or thinking that, oh, well, we'll keep the masses under control by making them have justifiable reason to hate each other or to be divided against each other. Like I said earlier, guys, Pay attention to this, especially if you're a Muslim. If you're a Muslim, pay attention to this. Find out for sure if these guys were actually part of your community, because I'm willing to bet that they aren't. This is not the first time that Western government entities have used Muslims as the excuse to foment new wars and to foment new problems around the world. Not by a long shot. We have enough problems already, okay? Like I said, if I was Muslim, I would be pissed that this stuff is continually used. I do know quite a few Muslims, and they're all upset about this. It's a ridiculous situation. We're getting hit by it all just as an excuse to cover their own butts, to cover their own tracks, and just to cause even more issues and divisions. And we really don't need it. As I said, I kid you not, it really does hurt my heart to see all of this stuff going on. It breaks my heart because I know that we as a human species can be so much better than this. We can do so much better than this. We don't need to hate each other. We don't need to cause problems with each other. That's their agenda. That's not my agenda. That's not the agenda of anybody that I know personally. None of us want to hate. None of us want to go out and start killing people. None of us want to cause problems in other people's lives just because we can. These people are not human. The ones that are in control of all of this stuff, the ones that are doing all of this false flag stuff, the ones that are trying to cause these divisions, the dark masters, the puppet masters that are pulling on all of these strings, they're not human. They don't think like you and I do. They are so far distant from the rest of humanity that they may as well be an entirely different species. And who knows, there's evidence that shows that they may not even be, okay? So why do we need them to tell us how to live? Why do we need them to tell us how to think and how to feel and how to act? We don't need it. You can think for yourself. That's my point with everything that I do. You know, I try to come forward with the idea that you can walk away from my shows either informed, enlightened, entertained, or inspired, and maybe a little bit of all four. But that is my goal for everything. And I want everyone, no matter what, to remember that you are what you make of yourself, not what they make you into. And if you can bear that in mind, and if you can hold on to that thought and that hope and that understanding of who you really are, then we do have a chance. But if you put yourself to sleep, if you allow yourself to be hypnotized by the things that they do and the things that they show you and the things that they want you to think, then we're going to still continue to let this world continue as it is, with our children being slaved out as sexual objects or as food or as blood sacrifices to these beasts that have taken control. We don't need that. We have a choice. So if you want to send me an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to the show notes for this show, which will have all of the links and all of the videos and everything on it, go to openeyesnetwork.com/OE057. If you want to reach me on Facebook or Twitter, go to Open Eyes Network on both of those platforms. And you can also find me on scene.is at Ira Robinson. Be sure to tune in on Wednesday. I'm going to be covering information about haunted houses and spirits. It should be a really interesting show. I think you guys will really enjoy it. I'm going to give not only personal stories and information about all of the stuff that I've dealt with over the years, but also delve into what haunted houses maybe really are, and kind of maybe have a little bit of a fun time with it all. I know it's a subject that I'm deeply interested in, and I know a lot of you are as well. So we'll get into some of the more paranormal stuff on the next show. That'll be on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to stick around. Michael Vera will be broadcasting late night in the Midlands in just a few minutes. And guys, until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening. Do your own research. Make sure you investigate. Be sure to tune in on Wednesday, January 14th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, latenightinthemidlands.com.